In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
That's true. Time to talk movies. Alan Adams here. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everybody in the family. 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Hello, Alan.
Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How's your day so far?
Oh, so far, so good. You know, it's Monday.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
So we got that going for us.
You've been not feeling great lately.
Yeah, under the weather. Under the weather for God, like it seems like forever. It's been like a week, and it's just like every time I feel like I'm starting to get a little bit better, I'm like, oh, I'm fine, and then I push myself, and then it's like, oh no, you're still sick. So
you mean push yourself like doing an improv show Friday night?
Just for instance.
Although we had a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. We had a good time, a nice crowd,
yeah.
Considering the warm summer night situation that we were in. But we had a blast over there. And we got another one coming right around the corner, July 20th at the Bangor Arts Exchange, I think is our next one. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, you'll be feeling better by then, right?
God, I hope so.
Come on.
You would think, right?
I'm confident. Yes.
I'm feeling like 80% sure that I will be at 80%.
So movie this weekend, you saw what everybody else who went to the movie saw.
Yeah, I went to see Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. And it's not a good movie, guys. It is not a good movie. It's one of those things where it's like, I understand that the model in Hollywood has shifted to this sort of big budget franchise driven model. I understand that. I do. I get it. But at some point you have to start asking yourself, when is enough enough? There are some that seem to have become this sort of self-sustaining situation. I look at something like the Marvel Cinematic Universe or something like that. But where is the line that, when crossed, basically leaves a franchise lacking in quality despite a continuing increase in quantity? And I can't specify for certain exactly where that line is, but I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in the first 20 minutes of Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. This is the second installment of the new sequence following the original trilogy from the 90s.
And I feel like the previous one just came out. I know it didn't, but how long ago was that?
It was 3 years ago.
Was it that? All right. It seems more recent than that.
Well, that's because all these movies kind of start to run together. So Fallen Kingdom, the time elapsed is the same as it is between movies. So it's been, we're 3 years later. The island where Jurassic World was took place, where all the dinosaurs were left after they broke out of their fences, because that's what dinosaurs do, and chased Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt away. The island apparently had a volcano on it. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Wow.
That certainly wasn't made clear in the first film. But there's a volcano, and now it's active, and it's starting to rumble and spit out lava and stuff. And goodness gracious, wouldn't you know it, the dinosaurs are in danger of being, I think they call it like re-extinct or something ridiculous like that. It's like, it's such a stupid thing. And I'm not going to use any character names because literally no one cares. You've got Bryce Dallas Howard's character, who is now running some sort of like dinosaur, like, welfare organization where it's like, they're trying to save the dinosaurs.
So it's not for unemployed dinosaurs.
Right. And Chris Pratt has moved off into the wilderness and is building a cabin, for some reason.
On the island.
No, this is somewhere completely different.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like a dangerous plan to build a cabin on the dinosaur island.
So they both get recruited by a reclusive billionaire, because all billionaires are reclusive in these sorts of films. This one played by, James Cromwell.
Wow.
Who's back. And He recruits them because they've discovered a sanctuary island, and they want to move the dinosaurs from the exploding island to the non-exploding island so they don't all die. So they put a team together, Bryce Dallas Howard and like two of the people that work for Bryce Dallas Howard, and Chris Pratt comes because he's the only one who can talk to the crazy smart raptor. I don't know if you saw the first movie, but there was the raptor that he trained, and so they could communicate or whatever. So they go to the island, and they're gonna, you know, they hook up with the sort of hunting team, and they're gonna start saving these dinosaurs. But wouldn't you know it, turns out that, you know, sometimes people have ulterior motives when it comes to this sort of thing. Gasp! I know. And turns out that there are a lot of people out there who are willing to pay a lot of money for dinosaurs for reasons that aren't necessarily super clear. They refer to them like as being used for like military purposes and for like sport hunting and stuff. And I'm like, I don't really understand. But it's made very clear when Toby Jones shows up in a suit, being all sleazy and saying like, "Hey, like people will buy these dinosaurs." And the dude who runs the Reclusive Billionaires Foundation is like, "Millions of dollars, I would like some of that." And so they hold a literal underground, like it's literally underground. They hold an auction for all the dinosaurs and all this stuff and blah-de-blah. And so Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt have to figure out a way to not only keep these dinosaurs from being unleashed onto an unsuspecting world, but also there's also a little girl that needs to be saved who randomly appears at one point. So it's just like, yeah.
Come out at night.
I know this I know this synopsis doesn't make a ton of sense. Neither does the movie. Here's one thing that made me actively angry. You may have seen a little bit of Jeff Goldblum making the rounds with regards to this movie. You might notice that I haven't mentioned him up until this point.
I wondered about that.
If you were looking forward to seeing super sexy chaos theorist Ian Malcolm roaming around Dinosaur Island without a shirt on, well, you were sorely disappointed. It was a Goldblum bait and switch the whole time. Oh. Like he's in the very beginning of the movie and the very end, like giving testimony to some stupid like government committee. Like he's a framing device. That's all.
Wow.
And it's just like, come on.
Well, that alone makes me hate them.
Right. Like I'm just like that's not cool. That's not cool, makers of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Like you promised me Goldblum, and then you're just gonna be like, well, here's a little Goldblum. We didn't lie to you. You know, deception by omission, I consider...
It's lying.
I feel like I've been lied to.
I think so.
I feel like I've been lied to.
You have a case, yes.
And look, you know, there are big dinosaurs roaming around, but I think we've reached the point where you need to give me a little bit more than just dinosaurs. Like, I love dinosaurs. I love seeing dinosaurs do dinosaur stuff, but ultimately, like, there's only so much of that that's going to work if your story doesn't make any sense and you don't care about anybody who's in the movie. On a number of occasions, and I feel like I've noticed this before, but never quite so blatantly in a film. There are a number of exchanges that are structured like jokes and delivered like jokes, but they're not actually jokes.
Oh.
I think maybe somewhere along the line they were intended to be jokes, but then multiple edits and what have you have basically removed any semblance of what might have once been humor. From the moment, and so you're left with Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt completely lacking in chemistry, which is fun. I think they're both very talented performers, and I feel like they were actually pretty good together in the previous film, but for whatever reason, it just seems like that whatever chemistry they had is just gone, and so they're just kind of marking their way through it. The rest of the supporting cast literally could be anyone. It really does not matter who's doing anything in this movie because none of the characters matter and none of the decisions being made by any of the major participants make a lick of sense. At one point we're watching like dinosaurs be like airlifted off this island with slings and stuff. And at one point the lead hunter, who's played by the dude who was the head police guy in Monk, I forget his name. The guy, just like randomly just shooting at stuff. Like I don't understand what happened. I think, is the problem. I don't understand why this movie is as bad as it is. And don't get me wrong. Like we live in a world where Michael Bay can crap out a Transformers movie and make, you know, nine figures at a box office for the opening weekend. So it's not like the discerning taste of the American cinephile is going to deter them from making garbage. But I just wanted it. I guess I just wanted it to be better. Regardless, you know, I mean, it made $150 million. So at this opening weekend, and it opened early overseas because to get ahead of the World Cup traffic. So they're already up to close to half a billion box office worldwide. And so, much to the chagrin of friend of downtown, Upton Bell, there's going to be more of these, and there's not a damn thing any of us can do about it.
You can't stop the dinosaurs. You can only hope to contain them.
Except you can't even do that.
Yes.
Yeah, you blow up the island. It doesn't matter. There are still dinosaurs everywhere, including, and you know what? I don't care. Including, at the end, in Las Vegas.
What?
Yeah.
They were there to see the Golden Knights, obviously.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
On a brighter note, I don't know if you heard it when you were on your way in. We went to see Incredibles 2 yesterday.
I didn't hear you talking about it, but yeah, that's
every bit as good as you told
such
us
a good
last
movie,
week.
Oh, right?
It was great.
I was psyched to hear that the boy could get through it because it's long and it gets a little dark in a couple of places.
It does. It does. Now, what I didn't know, Abby was telling me this afterwards, that it's the longest computer generated animated film for kids that they've ever done.
Oh.
At clocking in at, I think, close to 2 hours.
Yeah,
right?
I guess I didn't really notice because that would make sense.
But it didn't feel like it.
Yeah, no, it's just wonderfully paced and the performances are great. Incredibles 2 is literally everything good that Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is bad. Like that's where we're two sides of the coin at that point. But yeah, well, good. I'm glad that somebody had some enjoyment at the movies this weekend, because I certainly didn't.
There will be more chances. What's coming up this week for releases?
I'm holding out hope. I had heard a rumor that our friends at Bangor Mall Cinemas were maybe going to try to get the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, man, I want
to
see that.
I haven't heard any updates on that, so I don't know if they were able to swing it with their distributor or if it fell through. But timing-wise, it's probably getting to be about that point. The big release this weekend, which is weird. It's weird. It's another sequel, and it's like the weirdest sequel in a summer full of weird sequels. It's Sicario 2.
Right.
I've seen the commercials for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fact that they're making another one of those, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why something like this is happening. But it's just a continuation of the year of Josh Brolin, who's just rowing strong.
When does this big, dumb, but probably awesome movie with The Rock come out?
That I believe is the middle of next month. Yeah, yeah. Building.
Yeah. It looks so bad, it will be good.
Oh my God, it's going to be so ridiculous, but like, that's Dwayne Johnson's time to shine.
Yeah.
Is when you put him in a situation that makes literally no sense. It's just like, all right, Dwayne, just, you know, flex a couple of times, run, like break some windows, fight some guys, and we'll start counting money.
Yeah. Oh, also we saw, looking ahead, we saw the trailer. I'm excited about this because I like the original. And the sequel to Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
Looks great. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of the original movie, so it'll be a lot of fun to see that one. We'll throw this out here to keep it sports adjacent. The ridiculous Kyrie Irving old man basketball movie comes out this weekend, I think. Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
Where it's just like it's him and a bunch of other basketball guys, like in old guy makeup, doing basketball stuff.
Because
I literally don't know what else happens.
Who doesn't think to themselves, you know, that commercial would make a great movie?
Yeah. This is 30 seconds of this is hilarious. Let's do 95 minutes of it.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
From the people who brought you Air Bud.
Can't wait to hear your thoughts on it, Alan.
I can't wait to find out what my thoughts are.
Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge talking movies with us on Pass the Popcorn every Monday afternoon here on Downtown.